talk about playtesting today, and we have Dew, who is a prolific playtester in the Doom community. We also have this other person who's just here because of nepotism and our laziness. Seal Say it's
Say-lay-0-0, text only.
I could just screw that up.
Pretty much the long version.
Whatever. I mean, nobody really knows who they are, so I think they just wandered into the recording studio, to be honest.
That's true.
Excellent. So we're going to be discussing playtesting and how awesome and or crappy it is.
Indeed. We know that going to be the most critical phase of quality control in a project, past obviously map selection and the like, and the extent to which it's the most critical is dependent on its size. So you have fat projects like BTSX, which are like, what, 75 maps in length ultimately, when all is said and done? And I think the most
close
interesting.
Close to 90.
Close to 90?
Close to 90. Let's see, E1 has 24, E2 has 27, and E3 has 32.
That's
so close to 90.
That's pretty monstrous. Anyway, the most interesting angles of discussion, I think, we can get on the subject of playtesting come when we look at those larger scale projects. When you're balancing gameplay and crushing bugs over a longer period of time, and the like. But before we get into that, just talk a little bit about why you wanted to playtest in the first place. Because it seems to me like a pretty too arduous a task to get myself involved in. Is it more of a case of nobody else really wants to do it, so I guess that's just me? Or do you, heaven forbid, actually like playtesting?
Well, speaking for myself, as I think Dew might still be disconnected, I'm not sure.
I'm back, actually.
Oh, great, great. Well, maybe you should go, because you're the one people want to hear from. Okay, I'll go first. But I do like it. It's a nice way to participate. I'm not a mapper. I'm kind of just new to this whole Doom thing. And it's just... It's nice to be, I like picking on things and being kind of a jerk that like says stuff and nitpicks and it gives me a chance to do that while like not being completely irritating, hopefully. So playtesting's really fun in that regard.
Wow. It kind of surprises me. Even over like a long period of time. Like I know at the moment you're playtesting back to that next, which is...
Oh yes, that's all I've ever done so far, really. That's my Doom community experience, is playtesting VTSX.
Oh, well.
Well, that's what kind of got me into it. It's kind of like Elite, because oftentimes you get to play stuff that hasn't been released yet to the public. So you're like the first guy who ever gets to play some stuff. So that kind of feels like you're the chosen one who gets to change the thing before it gets released to the masses or something like that.
You would rather just wait until the polished product comes out and just be a little bit more patient?
Yeah, maybe. But at first, when I got into playtesting, it was definitely like the excitement of the privilege of it. But with time, of course, when more and more people started asking me to play this or that, I started to see the value of just waiting for the final product.
Do you think...
I was going to say, but Dew actually is the chosen one. Like, Mufasa appears in the clouds and says, "My son, you must ensure the curse of Berserk in every map."
Yeah, that Berserk definitely has to appear in every map. And mappers who don't follow the one rule I have just should burn in the abyss forever.
Do you think playtesters get credited enough for their work, considering? I mean, talk about the prestige of being the first ones to play the map set and all is said and done, but then you're pretty much forgotten about, surely. Where?
Yes, and no. Sometimes you're just like a footnote, but sometimes when you look at some text files, I'm almost embarrassed because... in community project especially, because every one of those guys just doesn't forget to thank all the playtesters and names them, and it's just embarrassing.
Oh, totally.
Because
I was doing community chess before, and I think I came in very late to playtest it, and I think people like Hawkwind had come in and swept the board, basically picked up all the major bugs, and I was just looking for things to comment on. And so I was in map 4, I was just swimming around going, yeah, that armor bonus is clipping into the step, you might want to move it back to line up with anything else.
That's the embarrassing part. Yeah,
likewise Double Impact, I think I made about 8 different comments, and I think only 6 of them had any, sorry, 2 of them had any impact on the actual outcome, and I was still credited for it, and I felt a bit embarrassed there as well. So, yeah.
I think playtesters are kind of like the technical people when making a movie. Like, the people who actually made the movie really, you know, appreciate them and understand what went into, you know, their job. And, of course, they're going to get, you know, their names mentioned in the credits and stuff. But, like, as, you know, the standard people who watch the film, they don't really think about that stuff unless it's done poorly.
Oh, yeah. No, I was about to say that. Yeah, it's an interesting point. It's got some really crappy lighting going on in the film. I mean, you wouldn't notice the lighting unless it was that bad, and which then you'd start to criticize the techies there. But I was
You get the comment, did everyone ever playtest this crap? Yeah, you get that quite often.
Yeah, you do get that a lot, that's right.
That's huge in game reviews, yeah.
Right. But then, like, when something's really balanced, it's like, good map, it's really balanced, thanks. Not, hey, thank you, playtesters, for balancing this map.
I don't think
The mapper is genius. Yeah, let's all applaud him. And no one looks for the, you know, process.
But speaking personally, I don't really think a playtester really needs that much credit anyway. I mean, you're just playing a map and commenting on stuff. I mean, the reward is if you've said anything that needs to get pointed out and it gets pointed out and fixed before it gets released, that's the reward. I mean, it's not about the rewards and the riches and the spoils of war. It's about it's about knowing you did the right thing, the best thing, and really that's all you can ever hope for in life.
Right, that you contributed to in life. Excellent. Yeah, excellent. Knowing that you contributed to create a quality product and that you're responsible for it, whether or not they get the credit, I guess, is just a...
I'm sorry, I shouldn't speak so silly. I'm just being kind of silly about it. But the truth is, honestly, I don't want to like feel like I'm having too much of an impact. I mean, if I say something that has a point, this is kind of my ethos with playtesting, I mean, from what I've started. If I say something... You know, I can say anything. I can say something stupid. I can say something that is a good point or a bad point. But it just matters if the developers agree. And if they don't agree, then that's fine. I mean, but if they do, then I guess I might have a point. And then, you know, hopefully they might do something. But I just have to feel like I can say anything and not worry whether or not it's going to impact the whole project.
You think it's possible that you could spend too much time playtesting a certain map set, and then you start pointing out things that might not necessarily actually be important to point out, or are superfluous, or could actually be detrimental to the overall product?
Well, I mean, if that happens, actually, that's for the developers to find out. I mean,
I'd say it's the other way around, that the more time you spend with a map, you just become accommodated to it, and you stop seeing the problems. And like a completely new, fresh guy, a fresh set of eyes to point it out. This actually happens to me quite a lot, that I just spend a year with a map, and suddenly someone just comes and points out glaring flaws of the map, and why didn't I see that before? Because I spend so much time going into the details of the map that I already am accommodated to the bigger problems.
Sure. Yeah, that kind of gets to the point I would think of like multiple playtesters being really important, because there's different ones that like specialize or think about different things. Like I know Dew's really great with placement and considering all these different play styles. I guess I specialize in texture alignment, really, nothing more than that. And then I got people like Hawkwind who are like, they're like computer machines. They like, But I just think all that combines to help, along with, of course, all the various mappers themselves playing each other's stuff.
Sure, so you think it's very important to have a very diverse team, playtesters that specialize in different areas, necessarily? Or, I mean, just playing off what Dew said there, and that, you know, you spend so much time on one map that you can begin to become jaded a little bit, or desensitized, I guess. Do you think it's important to rotate as well in tasks? I mean, I guess with something like texture alignment, you're not going to become jaded to something like that, but where gameplay is concerned, you might be playing through a map and all of a sudden you're thinking it's not as fun as it used to be and certain things could be changed when it actually really is just as fun. And you've just been playing it for far too long. So do you think it's important to switch around, even when you have specialized roles?
Probably. I mean, we just kind of like, when I talk about roles, it's just kind of something that I feel like we've fallen into. I don't really know if that's how it is, but you playtest the map different ways for different things. Like, if you're playing, like, I've been playing SoloNet sometimes lately, just kind of make sure I know all the monsters aren't stuck and things like that. And when I'm playing like that, I'm fine with giving myself ammo and health or whatever. I don't care. But if I'm playing a normal way, then no, you're not going to do any cheating. You're going to try to go through right. And so there's all these different ways to play that keep it livened up, I think. That's just kind of how it is playing in general, I would think.
I'd say it's actually really difficult to try and switch up the roles like that, because somebody like Hawkwind, who's, you know, he's going to be the one to point out all the technical issues at the map. But
I'm talking specifically about gameplay elements. I flagged out, you know, something like alignment isn't exactly, if someone's dedicated to doing alignment, they're not really going to need to switch their role because they're not going to become jaded to something like that.
I wouldn't really say that somebody's dedicated to doing one thing, because again, like Hawkwind, I believe, plays on Hey, Not Too Rough.
Right.
So, you know, he's going to always be the guy pointing out, you know, he's not really going to point out anything unless Hey, Not Too Rough's horribly imbalanced.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Selay has an eye for detail and, you know, is very persnickety about that kind of stuff. He's going to be pointing out that stuff. And Dew's, you know, heavily involved in the demo scene, and he's gonna, you know, have that knowledge to be able to say, hey, you should do this here and that there, to where it's not so much that they're assigned roles, it's that in the, you know, diverse, it's going back to the importance of having diversity in your playtesters, is that because so many different people have different play styles, that diversity and role assignment is just naturally gonna happen, and it's important to have, you know, somebody with that specific skill set to where they'll point out those things versus, you know, if I just had, you know, Hawkwind playtesting everything and, you know, then I don't really have anybody to balance ultraviolence, or, you know, Dew's going to focus really heavily on gameplay, but he's not going to notice, you know, all the little visual oddities and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I
wanted to say that, yeah, that's exactly what I had in mind, that I can't really sub for whatever Hawkwind does. I mean, I often find technical problems because, yeah, I can analyze the problems I see, but he's like a fucking generator or something. He just puts out that log of his with all the wrong line deaths, and there's just no fucking way that anyone can do that job for him. I mean, for my job, you have like people, I don't know, recently Selay has been doing a lot of my work, and also there's Willow or maybe Snakes sometimes. These guys also can more or less do my take on the job. But Hawkwind is the kind of guy that's kind of irreplaceable because, yeah, he's extremely technical and he also plays the game on, hey, I'm whatever it's called. I don't even know.
Never played. I need to know.
No. I'm strictly UV only. Sorry. I don't even know how the difficulty is called.
Impressive.
And yeah, again, also, you know, Hawkwind plays it on that, but, you know, I playtested lower difficulties, and, you know, I nerf myself. You know, when I'm playing on skill 2, I only use the keyboard with no strafe. When I'm playing on skill 3, I only use the keyboard and I have strafe. You know, just kind of to limit myself to where it kind of feels like I need to be playing on that skill. But at the same time, you know, because I normally play on UV, I don't get the same experience out of playing it as somebody who normally plays on skill 3 or skill 4, or not skill 4, skill 2. So, you know, that's why whenever you look at quality control for any product, it's, you know, usually a wide variety of people just because of the, you know, different skill sets and different, you know, eyes for detail. And, you know, not necessarily detail, but, you know,
Yeah, I guess where certain areas of playtesting are concerned, you'd also have a large number of people catered towards one specific topic, like specifically with, or mostly indeed with difficulty testing. I imagine I guess you could have one person to test across all difficulty settings, but that'd be a lot to ask. So I don't know what the setup is for BTSX at the moment for something of that size, but how many people are they working on difficulty settings there? Because I imagine you'd have one person playing testing for something like UV and Hemiplenty, and then you'd have one person testing for Hainaut de Ruf and Hemiplenty, and they're sort of bounce between. Because you need to get the comparison there, but you can't expect someone to play all the difficulty settings for all the maps for something that large, surely.
Well, for Back to Saturn X, really so far, Hawkwind plays on skill 2, and then for episode 1, and I've done it for episode 2, but I really haven't done it in depth, I went through on skills 2 and 3 in order to check all that. So, I mean, I have played all the maps on every skill level, which
wow.
kind of puts a damper on your...
That brings me to another point. I was actually going to mention in the start, and I mentioned briefly before this interview even got underway, which is that surely, after that amount of time, you don't want to play after release the maps.
No. I've played E1 after release, and not to test it at all.
No, after release, I mean, after all three episodes are done, Complat and Elfin, you've been playtesting it for 2.5 years odd. I'm just throwing a number out there. And you wouldn't want to play it again. Sure, I know I wouldn't. Or at least not immediately. I wouldn't care about release.
I'd play it again.
It's that good, huh?
when E1 came out and there was the first public version, release.
Yeah.
There was like a flurry of the online events, like on ZDemon and Odamax and even Skulltag. I just came there and watched as they died in the survival. And that was enough. Actually, I joined later, but the first rotation of the maps, I was just content with watching. I had like no intention of joining.
I guess there must be a certain sensation, a feeling of being chuffed when you've been playtesting something for so long. Or indeed, if you're the author of a map, and then sitting back and watching everyone die in your creation, must be kind of fun.
oh, absolutely.
As well,
getting
for a point.
Getting back to your notion of playing after release, all that kind of stuff, I think when you're playing without the playtester mode on, you can enjoy it in a different way. I know that I'm just like trying to think about so many different things when I'm, you know, trying to do my playtesting, and I usually play on UV or Solonet, you know, just the idea of, like, trying to build, maybe it's just because I'm an inferior player in general, the notion of trying to build up a type of playing where I'm not always saving, and I'm not always, doing, because I'm not obviously the one playing for the skill levels testing necessarily, but the notion of maybe trying to build up a different way of playing is something that's interesting, and I think it'd be more fun to play the maps that way, which would be different.
Mm. Well, I can see that.
Actually, what Saley mentioned was is quite important, that you have actually testers of different skill levels.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have just a bunch of crazy psychos who just, dig their way through UV.
Yeah. You can't have 10 Belials if that's the kind of map you're trying to make. Which actually,
but it just works so much better when there's someone to give you like a reality check.
Oh, absolutely. But at the same time, and this goes into playtesters arguing with map creators, you know, this is what I want. It's the original goal of the map, like Doom 2 The Way In did, another project that I, even though have been playing it for quite a while, plan to play after release, suck it down, Alfonso. with something like that, you know, you have to tell the playtester, hey, yeah, I know that's totally a glaring bug, but
it's a feature.
Yeah, that's supposed to be there, so, you know.
Indeed, that project's very interesting because it flies in the face of basically everything that playtesting stands for, playtesting as well, improving the gameplay, you know, honing it to a degree, and finding bugs. And just with that project, it's just so specifically, like, so many bugs are intended to be features. The gameplay is supposed to be imbalanced in certain places. Like, I know in Sandy maps, if you go down one route, you'll get completely screwed over. You go down another, you'll be overpowered. It's like that. So, yeah, huge disclaimer there to the playtesters. But on that point, how important do you think it is to get to stick to people you know and trust when you're playtesting a map? And is there ever a time where you feel it's just better to throw it out publicly rather than keep it private in order to get a better result?
It's a mixed bag. You're going to get a wider variety of opinions with the public release, but at the same time, kind of like with the community project versus team projects, when you're dealing with just people in your, like, central zone, mm-hmm. you're going to get a more tightly knit product, so it's really a 50-50 kind of thing, to where you have to choose that balance. It's why, you know, you have stuff that even something like Back to Saturn X, where it has a very, you know, limited playtesting group, it's then released for a public beta for, you know, a final check over to where it is, you know, mm-hmm. hey, we've already playtested it, but we're going to, you know, throw as many people at it and see what we miss, because when you only have a limited team, there's just no way they can find every single bug.
Right, sure. It's to me, It seems a little strange, honestly, the case with Back to Saturn X. I mean, I understand why it's been sort of relatively privatized and hasn't been thrown out to the public. Although it has been thrown out to the public now, but for a while it was privatized. To me, it seems like when you have a project whose goal demands that playtesting be done in a certain way, you'd want to privatize it then. Now, with doing the way that we've gone the route of actually making it public, we're privatizing it first, and then we're throwing it out to the public very shortly. But to my mind, it would be best to keep it private there, even though we're going the other route. And with something like Baptist Next, which doesn't necessarily have a distinct project goal in the same way that Doom 2 the way it did does, it'd be better to go public with it. But there it seems to be more privatized. Which, honestly, is kind of strange to me.
Again, it's mainly, you know, if you have a team project, you're going to want to keep it within, you know, you don't want to release a million versions of something. It's kind of why, like, Episode 1 has a bunch of bugs in the latest public release that have been fixed internally, but we still don't have another public release because ESO wants to make sure, you know, oh, hey, there's a crap ton of stuff that our team could be doing and, you know, correcting that's just been ignored, and, you know, we want to make sure we fix it on our end before we throw it out for the, you know, throw the masses at it and just, you know, go for fire for effect, get as many people as you can.
Yeah, the thing is, when you're throwing it out into the public like that, you're bound to get things that you haven't thought of. Well, not necessarily, but you're more likely to get things that you haven't thought of with a more privatized team.
Yeah, but also, when you just throw it out, you get a lot of, like, clutter. You get a lot of philosophy about things you don't really want even to take into, like, get two wide opinions when you.
But there's no obligation to fix anything that they say, right?
So, yeah, I think BTSX did it right, that actually it's almost a complete product that was released. So basically, it's just a bug hunt for the public. Not like, you should remake this map, like, I don't like this section or whatever. That gathering opinions like that from the wide public will just get you in a never-ending spiral, because someone will always be discontent. So, yeah, I think the team-based playtesting is better. There's just more focus on whatever you need. Mm-hmm. Like, the most focused project I've been involved in was Plutonia Revisited.
Right.
That was just laser focused. But also, probably because it was handled completely in, you know, Doomworld private messaging.
Right.
It was just a lot of files flying through there. And
oh, yeah.
So it was basically just everything flew through Joshi, and that was really laser focused. So and the product, everyone agrees the product is actually closer to Plutonia than Plutonia 2 is. So there are definitely benefits to you know, limiting it to a close small team.
Of course, the benefit, another benefit of going public, I think, is that you can arrive at large consensuses that you might not necessarily obtain with a smaller team. For example, sticking still with Microsoft next, I'm not sure how prevalent the criticism was before it was released publicly of everything being very samey, but certainly you got that impression after things were released and people started agreeing with each other en masse that that was the case, at least certain people, sometimes anyway. And do you think, perhaps in response to that, approaching episodes 2 and 3 for that project, playtesting has lent a little further towards, because of that that public criticism, trying to correct that part of it?
We actually thought about it even before it was released. Like, we knew that we were giving them just a, you know, all the tech bases.
Oh, that, I guess that was part of the joke, This map's surprise. It's all tech bases.
I mean, there was complaints about, a little bit of complaints inside about whether or not things were a little similar. Like, I thought there wasn't enough color. And we did end up getting more color before release, but there was a while before then when they released less. So, things like that.
What we underestimated, I think, was the notion that episode 1 was a complete product. Like, you know, we had at that point we had like, 50 maps or something like that when we, started talking about splitting it into 3 megawatts. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we already knew that we had a complete product of 3 megawatts and we just didn't know how many maps it would be, but yeah, we already considered it to be a pack of 3 megawatts. And then we released just 1, and we probably underestimated that people would just see it as the 1 megawatt and wouldn't wait for the theme transitions in E2 and E3. Like, they would be, oh, BTSX is so samey. Even though we internally we know how many theme transitions are there.
Yeah.
For a long time, there was the plan that like each episode would release a week apart. So, and that of course I guess played into that for a while. But of course, obviously, it takes much longer to get this stuff put out than I think a lot of us even had any idea.
That was another thing we underestimated. Yeah.
Well, one of the funny things about episode 1 is that because it's all tech bases, there's not a lot of like surrealist Sandy-esque concept maps that are more prevalent in E2 and E3. And one of the things that I was yelling at Essel to do, because E2 is so close to release and there's just a couple of key things that people are being slow on, is that we should need to get E2 out the door so that people don't think we actually took the it's all the same change it into consideration when making the maps, just because of the fact that like 40 ounces post about the differences in gameplay per maps is almost like a list for list on the differences between like the first 8 maps of E2, to the point where like, oh, well, yeah, that's already coming.
We were, until we started talking specifically about BTSX, spilling over into the realm of feedback rather than specifically playtesting. And they're sort of joined in a way, I guess, because one thing can lead to the other. One thing that's interested me in particular is when projects are super hyped, to the point that perhaps you can't really trust the feedback of the playtesters as much as you might like. I know for a project like I can't remember the name of it, DTST, is that it? DTST. The feedback there was quite unanimously positive initially from certain people, right? Until a couple of others come out of the woodwork and said, hey, we don't think this is much chop.
But that's the peer pressure of making it a public release and just getting feedback from the forums, because you have like the people who played and are just raving about it, and then there's someone like Christus or Townsman they just come along and just say, oh, this sucks, and then you have 10 people just saying you should be banned from these forums.
These are the days.
Oh, yes, they are.
So, yeah.
I mean, specifically of I'm not sure what the... Oh, no, I guess Native and Zedium is a terrible example. But let's talk about a hypothetical situation with an upcoming project like Deus Vault, okay, the second version, which will come out, which has been quite hyped for some time, or heaven forbid Scythex, something like that comes out, and then it calls for playtesters and some people come on board. Do you think people are inclined to be more critical in response, or do you think perhaps the authors in that instance might be better off recruiting someone who's actually... hasn't really been caught up in all the hype of it and is just interested in the playtesting aspect, I guess.
I'd say no, because when you think of, like, the great mega overhyped flops, something like Daikatana or Duke Nukem Forever, if you take away all the hype, the product is still mediocre. The hype works in people saying that it's worse than it actually is, like, oh, this is the worst thing ever because it's so hyped, but... really, it's still a bad... like, Daikatana's not a good game, okay? Even without the hype, it's a really shitty game. But the hype just makes people more inclined to point out the flaws.
Right, okay. That's what I was more trying to get at there.
Rather than defend it. But with the hype, I think the product has to be released. For general consumption, you know. If, you know, you say, this is not a finished product... please, you know, look at it. People are going to approach it with a different, you know. If somebody released, like, Scythex with no playtesting, like Eric Alm just, like, sat on his toilet for 2 hours one day and pumped out, you know, 15 extra maps and was like, oh, yeah, here's this map set he has, and it sucked, people would be, you know, they have the expectation of, well, it's Eric Alm, it's going to be good, and they have the expectation of, well, he's been working on this for, fucking, I don't know, like, 7 years now?
Something ludicrous.
Actually... Eric Holm, I think he's never worked on it again because he's known for streaky mapping. So he just sits down on his ass and shits out, new maps. And yeah, he doesn't really need playtesting, so he's one of a kind, crazy genius. Not really the greatest example there.
Right, but anyways... I think that, no, the hype is not really a detrimental thing to playtesting.
Yeah, but actually, I agree with you. Scythex had a huge hype going on, and it didn't deliver. It's not as good as Scythe 2. Even if I take just the first 10 maps of Scythe 2, I think Scythe 2 is superior. The first two episodes of Scythe 2 are superior to Scythex. So yeah, I think that just Eric got a victim of his own hype, like of his own legend there.
Right. And you know, like, you see this in movies all the time, like, somebody will be like, well, Iron Man 2 is only a bad movie because the first one was so good. No, Iron Man 2 is a bad movie because it's a shitty movie. Or, you know, yeah. Like, the Star Wars prequels are bad movies on their own right. Like, regardless of the original product, they're still bad. You know, and that's where I think hype really doesn't play as big of a role in people determining whether something is good or bad, so much as how good or bad is it.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite part of playtesting? I mean, we know sailing sort of it's more about being part of the process and being able to scrutinize, and that has its own quality. So it's not the actual playtesting process that you find so enjoyable, it's more the role in the community, I guess, or in the project that you sort of find enjoyable? Is that safe to say?
Well, I thought you were going to do with that first, because you already addressed what I said. I would say it is good like that. It's I don't even know what to add about it beyond your recap of what I said, honestly. So why don't you answer, and then I'll think of something.
Oh, well, very good. I guess I should have directed that at you, because you have indeed responded to that already. What part about playtesting do you enjoy so much?
Breaking the maps.
What?
Like, yeah, just finding
So ideally for you, someone will come along and say, I think this map is absolutely perfect, it's pristine, it cannot be faltered, and then you would just love to be able to step in there and just go, that's broken, that's broken, that's broken.
Yeah,
just crush everything.
Absolutely
so
amazing.
You're the demolition expert, basically.
Actually, more like, I would go in and just say, you know, you can press this button from where you're not supposed to press it, from like the lower platform or whatever. You can rocket jump across this gap. This just I love this. And I usually just say, okay, this may be too easy, so you should fix it. But if it's hard enough, I just usually say keep it in, because that's what the demo scene just lives on.
Right.
And I just love it. And of course, in the old worlds like Doom 2 or Plutonia, these were unintended. And these days, if you get someone like me or Belial or whoever of these guys who know that those tricks, basically you can't get unintentional tricks on maps. But I just like leaving these in, especially if they were not intended by the mapper.
Right.
Like, I will point it out, but I want to keep them in.
Right, that's actually a very interesting point, one that I regret not thinking of before we started this discussion. There seems to be a tendency when you're playtesting today for many projects that a polished product means fixing all the bugs and all the errors and all the exploits and leaving and making sure that it's the author is in complete control of how the map progresses. But in my experience, I find that finding exploits and stuff like that and leaving them in makes for an overall funner product, and especially the joy of being able to find them and break them and helping out with the speedrunning scene in that way. Do you think it's a bad thing that many projects are electing to sort of perfect their map sets in this way?
It has upsides and downsides, like everything, because you can go overboard. Like... If you get mappers like Gusta, who will just put speed tricks in almost every of their maps. Like, if you start up a Gusta map, you can just look for a speed trick, and sometimes he does go overboard. Like, sometimes you can be sure you can finish the map in like 3 seconds. And that kind of, kills the map if the trick is not hard enough, or if it's not witty enough or hidden enough. But I like the challenge that it's there somewhere. It just has to, in these days, it has to be really much more challenging and hidden. Like I helped... in Speed of Doom, we tried hiding these tricks or making them really hard. Because, for example, Plutonia 2 has some tricks that are really, really trivial. And even like amateur could just finish some maps in 5 seconds.
Right.
So this is something that's both thrilling and exciting and... I like when mappers try to do it, but it's also, it can go wrong. Then you just see any average player in these online multiplayer events just killing the map with a archvile jump or whatever.
Sure. I know myself and Tarzman are pretty averse to leaving concessions like that in.
And I'm okay with that. When I tested for Plutonia Revisited, we felt like the maps should have tricks because Plutonia was full of them. But then again, there were maps in Plutonia that didn't have them, so we just left it at the mappers. And some of them wanted the tricks in, some of them didn't realize there were tricks to be exploited, and then they were like super excited when we pointed them out. And some of them were just, no way, I don't want that in. For example, Matt Tropiano, that guy hates them. He wants you to you know, go through the entirety of the map.
Yeah.
See, and I'm the exact opposite way. I don't know why you said I have an aversion to it. I absolutely love...
Oh, I said aversion. That's a case of my linguistic mind just flipping out inside of my brain and being completely wrong. I meant the opposite. Yeah,
yeah, because an aversion. I think that any time the mapper...
Privy to.
Yes, any time the mapper demands the player play a map in a certain way instead of the way the player wants to play a map, I'm fully saying you're just doing it wrong.
Right. I guess the original point I was trying to get at is that, and we sort of hinted at there, is to me it makes the map feel a little bit sterile. Maybe that's the wrong word to use, but perfecting a map to the point that is exactly as the author intended, there are no quirks or no imperfections to me, I feel like it's sometimes better just to leave a few loose ends like that. I mean, it sounds a bit silly, and obviously with respect to certain bugs, that would just be stupid. But things that you would otherwise overlook if you had a little bit less time.
I know what you understand, that it's like you can't go into the map and explore the new frontier or whatever, because... If the testers were competent enough, they found it all, like at least 99% of everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's kind of like just revisiting what was prepared for you or what was left behind. Like okay, you can have this shortcut or something like that. So yeah, I can see it. In the speedrunning community, you have people like Graza, who will just scour the archives looking for ancient words to be exploited in most ridiculous ways, because they can't do that with newer words, at least not the ones that are fully playtested. Of course, there are I think some of the mega wards being developed right now are probably under-tested in this way.
Yeah.
Because, I know that demos crop up every now and then of even the mega wards, like that you can finish the map in 0 seconds because you just go and press the exit button. From below or something like that.
It kind of surprises me, actually, now that I think about it, that certain megawatts aren't trying to improve the longevity of their map set in this way. Because, really, this is what makes map sets survive, is through speedrunning and the like. That community is always prevalent, and other than just being classics and a good set of maps, I mean, the reason why map sets like Requiem and Memento Mori survived to this point is because of Competent, I guess, and the fact that they've become so prevalent in the speedrunning community. So making them friendly to speedrunners will encourage the longevity, and surely that's what you want out of a megawad. It doesn't seem to me like it's being pursued enough. But I guess we could talk about that more in a future episode. We're actually specifically talking about speedrunning. But where playtesting is concerned, once again, Sale, I wonder if perhaps you think something could be too perfectly playtested. Like, lining out everything to perfection. There's any...
I don't know. I don't think so. I think the idea of keeping things in, though, that are, you know, to call it a feature instead of a bug, like what you were getting at, especially with these speedrun techniques and things that I've seen sometimes happen in the BTSX threads, I think it's pretty neat. I mean, and I don't think that's... I don't know if there's really a chance of it becoming too much playtesting, honestly.
I was going to say that with... We need to determine what we're calling too much playtesting. Like, visually, there's really, like, you know, pointing out, oh, this is misaligned and this is that. You know, it all comes down to what the original author wants the map to be like. With somebody like Matt Trofliano, who's like, no, you have to play my map exactly this way, blah, blah, blah.
Not necessarily in community project, Huntsman.
Well, no, I'd say in a community project, you know, it's always up to in something like Back to Saturn X, unless the project leader is going to say, no, you have to change
this
and get in a fight with it, it's always about what the original author wants to do with their map. So there really can't be anything, you know, it's up to the original author to make sure their map is, you know, has longevity to it, isn't sterile, and all that. All the playtesters can do is make suggestions and then have the original author say, oh, well, I want to do this, I don't want to do that, this is why I did this, this is why I'm not doing that, right, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And I think that having more opinions, like you brought up when opening into the community, that you could just ignore half of them if you don't like them.
Yeah, I just realized I tripped over my own words there, yeah, because I raised that point.
Yeah,
it's not that playtesters have complete control.
It's no, playtesters don't have complete control, and it's up to the author to determine how polished they want their product, but there's two different types of polish. There's technical polish, and there's gameplay polish, and I would say that something can't be too technically polished unless it's supposed
right.
to go for like,
right.
a specific look, and right. then, yeah, obviously, you know, like, something like Doom the way it did can be way too polished technically, but gameplay-wise, there's definitely way too polished when a map becomes very sterile.
Right. Right. I guess I actually assume that to be what we were talking about there.
Right? That's also what I meant. That like a mapper should know about you know everything that can go wrong with his map. But what I meant was that serving to the speedrunning community too much can be detrimental because it just cheapens your map, and that's what sometimes happens to Gusta maps. As much as I love them, yeah, sometimes they're just too easy to speedrun.
How else does it cheapen the map? Have you catered too much to speedrunners?
Well, because it just becomes obvious that you can just speedrun them in, and someone will find the trick in like 1 hour after you release the word. And that's just too soon, I'd say. That's,
okay.
It's just too obvious.
I was thinking perhaps what you were saying there for a moment is that in making concessions for speedrunners, you were making the regular playthrough of the map.
Well, that can also happen if you just like premeditate all the scenarios too much. Like the player will come through from this point and
right.
I will greet him with two mancubi, whatever...
They'll shake hands. Oh, wait.
With Doom, I think unpredictability is a really important factor. And I Kaika posted the screenshot of some TNT2 map that the layout just offends me on every level. But why I brought it up, it's not that there's anything wrong with linearity and stuff like that. It's that, you know, when you compact something like that into, like, you know, a straight line, you're reducing the randomness of the encounter, which is, you know, kind of where Doom really has its bread and butter in gameplay. And that you can set up an encounter to say, okay, I expect this to happen, I expect this to happen, and this to happen. But when the player actually enters it, you know, they're going to approach it differently for each player to where you have a degree of randomness to it, that the more complex the scenario, the more different ways it's going to play out completely different from how you intended. So with speedrunning tricks like Dew's talking about, I think it needs to be within that natural randomness, not like, okay, I'm going to put this here, and it might be close enough to be, like, archvile jump to, and it might not be close enough to be archvile jump
to. Yeah, it has to feel like it's natural. It has to feel like it's not there intentionally. Like, it has to feel like a map error, even though everyone knows it's not a map error, it's left there. Yeah.
So sorry to interrupt you. That's a super loud keyboard. Is that Sally's keyboard?
That's me. I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's Sally.
Anyway,
cool interlude.
Actually, that's what I wanted to say. That you mentioned that the regular playthrough may feel like this. This is why I hate Hell Revealed 2. That map set is just fucking terrible set of like set pieces. Like, you just move into a room and just monsters pop out and you need to destroy them and you move to another room like that. That what offends me. Like, I don't mind, slaughter fest. I don't mind, I don't mind, Slaughterfest or New Gothic or these slaughtery maps, but Hell Reveal 2 is just shit.
And
I had to put it out.
Yeah. I would agree with that. And then going back to Gusta and something like Karma Sutra is a perfect example of, whenever I watch the speedruns and something like that, it all feels very manufactured. Versus something like the record-holding speedrun for the map Speed in Platonia, where it's, just luck, chance, archvile, rocket jump, resulting in the death sliding into the exit, where it's just so ridiculously over the top that it's like, yeah, they never intended for that to happen, which it gives it more of a charm to it. And that's what I kind of think is dumbing down in the polish of the gameplay department. And also, moving on, though, from that, Sele raises an excellent point about playtesting and the increased skill of Doomers, and the fact that ultra-violence is really considered the default norm for Doom, when it really should be Hurt Me Plenty.
Why is that? Just because it's in the middle?
Because it's medium. Medium difficulty should always be the intended difficulty, with hard being the this is miserable and it's kicking my ass, and easy being I want to, go for a nice Sunday drive and look at the flower.
Yeah, but actually bringing this up, I have to say that sometimes words crop up, Plutonia Revisited, or for going for the extreme, say, Scapland, that just, they let you know that you should play on Hurt Me Plenty, and UV is really hard, and these guys won't listen, and then they will bitch about it being too hard. So, this is not about UV just getting to be a standard. This is about these guys thinking it's the standard.
But the developers end up making it the standard by catering to that mentality.
Right.
I haven't played very many Doom mods. I mean, I played Sky 2, Plutonia 2, those kinds of things. And those were really hard. And I do love DTSX, but I have wondered consistently as I've been playing it, and I do play on UV, even though I'm not, playing hardcore style, without saving. Of course, I say it. But I feel like, especially when you're playtesting, you've got to save is one thing, at least I have to, because I'm trying to keep track of so many things and awakenings of monsters and et cetera. Mm-hmm. But what I'm talking about UV, though, is it doesn't seem like it's that hard. When I think of longevity of projects and ones that people keep talking about and going back to, it looks like it's usually really hard, or it can be really hard, and you have to figure out how to do things. And here, I don't know if it's been that case.
With Back to Center Next, I'd absolutely say that's the case of Essel wanting the project to not be that hard. There have been many, many maps in Back to Center Next that the first version of them were just unbelievably hard, and something like the secret map for E3 that I played the first version of. I'm like, hey, can we go back to this? The first version on UV is a lot funner, even though it's like 7 times harder and, complete bullshit. We need that in it, and, stuff like the very first app. This is the thing.
There's no common standard in the Doom community. These people who complain about this, they just think that UV is something set in stone, and every mapper out there has to cater to this UV standard, and UV is just this one difficulty that will please them every time the same. But it's definitely not the case. It's the UV is just the hard difficulty. It's whatever the mapper sets it to be. So go on.
Sorry, the best example of this I can think of is with Sigvatir's cesspool, which is almost deliberately trying to bring to attention this point that everyone seems to play on UV, because he's explicitly said in the text file, this is ludicrously difficult, and this time I actually mean it. You won't survive. This is intended to be played on skill 2 or 3 at most. And the complaints that were received were phenomenal, and I think it was rated by many to be quite poor, specifically because of the difficulty, but it was very, very playable on skill 2 and 3, and more to the point, it was a very, very small map, which means that you could play it several times over in one sitting in order to try and hone your route, hone your task, and be able to complete on UV if you wanted to sit down that long and do it. So
I would say Skepland was a better example of this Cesspool was kind of smallish and like overly designed, just a set of traps, I'd say.
Okay.
It's my opinion.
Sure.
But Skepland was like a three maps of hell of just perfect designs that you can't move anywhere without two chain gunners and a cyber demon sniping you. Just everywhere you move, there was some monster shooting at you or some trap springing. And it got insanely easier on Hurt Me Plenty and even more easy on the easy difficulty. Like, Skepticist says that in the text file. Play this on HMP. This cannot be played. Like, the first time you play this, it cannot be played on UV. And it's true. And it's like an art, the way he just made a compact level like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I see as the pinnacle of difficulty.
I would agree with that, but going back to the point I've already made about, yes, it is the developer's responsibility, ultimately, which you know, ties back into accepting playtester feedback, but using movies as it like a parallel for Doom maps, it's, you know, you're going to cater to the audience most of the time. Most people, you know, when they make something, they're going to listen. If somebody says, oh, it's too hard, well, and that's how the community regarding UV as the norm does set a precedence. Now, it's up to the developers to just say, no, screw you, I'm making this. If you don't like it too bad, go cry somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to do that, well, you know, that's them cracking to the community, and there's really nothing that can be done about that because somebody's either going to cater to a group or they're not going to cater to a group. So I've used the term avant-garde mapping to refer to somebody like Natural 20 who looks at a lot of playtesting feedback and just says no. And
I can tell long stories about that.
and again, parallel to a movie, whereas you have a Lars von Trier film where he'll like somebody will watch it in the production crew and say, "Hey, man,
could Antichrist feature less dick?"
Yes, and he'll just be like, "No, go away. This is what the movie is. Deal with it."
Except with National 20s, it is like, can you put some fucking red suits in there? No.
Pretty much. It's that exact extreme. And it's all about what the developer wants to get out of, like, how true to his vision.
Would this make Time of Death, David Lynch?
Basically, yeah.
You have to take exact amount of LSD before playing his maps.
Yeah, somebody like Time of Death is another great example. You know, whether or not you like his map, you know, I'm not a big Time of Death fan, but Time of Death is still somebody who is very rigid in his style, and he's not going to listen to the feedback of, well, it needs to be easier. You know, he'd be the one to say, no, just turn down the difficulty setting and get over it. And that, if you want to change the community standard of what UV is, it's not really blaming any specific thing beyond developers, you know, saying, well, okay, fine, I'll lower the difficulty so that it can be played by everybody on UV. And, you know, as I become a more prolific mapper, a lot of times I want to make UV, you know, Skepland hard, because as I agree with Dude that Skepland is definitely the basis for how to do difficulty settings, because it is exactly that. You know, UV has its own difficulty setting that's just beyond Hurt Me Plenty, to where there's merit to lowering the difficulty.
This actually brings me to an interesting point that, you know, UAC Ultra 2, we actually 40 Ounce, he sent out the word to many people, but he didn't exactly wait for the feedback. I mean, when he released it, I was still typing like my ultra huge feedback post, and then it was just, you know, too late. And yeah, I guess he just sent it to us too shortly before the you know, the great date he needed to release it for.
If I may, he seems kind of like one of the types more like Natural 20, who
actually
isn't really going to be receptive to
I don't
at least
know.
He seems that way.
I think it's very
I guess he just rushed it. He seems to be, perceptive in the earlier stages, but then he just delivered us this pre-final stage, and it was almost the complete word, and then he released it like two or three weeks later without, I know Pevera also complained about not being able to give him feedback. So, yeah, this is what a rushed release looks like.
Several people have responded, though, either in the threads or threat or via PM for the interview that we did with him. I think it might have been Purist or Melon, my apologies for not remembering which one. Or both, indeed, who commented on how admirable it was that he was actually going down a specific route, calling upon Townsman's avant-garde, sort of a phrase to call it that, and not really making that many concessions. Especially with the music, which is one regret I do have. Please change that grindcore. But at the same time, I'm thinking, with analogies to films, which you keep on coming back to here, which is very handy, I have to say. When I'm watching a film, when I'm thinking about what film to watch, I realize that there's a massive collection to choose from, and that even with my very specific interests, or if I had more specific interests, I would still never be able to get through the amount of films that I want to watch in my entire lifetime. There are that many to choose from, and I feel like we're approaching that point with Doom Maps. And so for people like Natural 20 or 40 Ounce, I think more people should actually be heading down that route of just catering their maps to one person rather than an audience, and that could have adverse consequences on the playtesting department as well, I imagine.
I think that with film, I think there's always going to be, like, the need for the PG-13 summer blockbuster map set.
Is that BTSX?
No, that's not BTSX.
BTSX is the scary movie 5 of the...
yeah, basically. No, and I agree that, yeah, that there is enough...
Fast and Furious 6.
Fast and Furious 6 would be something like 32 and 24. Just dumb fun. But anyway,
what would Antichrist be?
End1.wad. I think it is about, you know, you're always going to have the people who are going to cater to themselves, and you're always going to have the people like, I don't want to make a map set catered to just me, because I find my maps more fun to play after I've given them to playtesters and they've come up with different stuff, because they're going to come up with stuff that I just don't think of, and, you know, they're good ideas that make the map better, and, I'm just never going to think of it because I have my limited view, and, you know, I'll be like, well, I want to put this in my map, and I'll forget about it, and, you know, all that other stuff, to the point where my product is more enjoyable to me after it's been catered to a quote-unquote larger audience.
Right.
I have this brings me to a weird case I've encountered. That was actually, I think it was actually my first big-time, playtesting project. That was Green War 2.
Oh, yeah.
In like 2009 or whatever. Basically, that's developed as Hellbent just giving a bunch of his bare layouts completely untextured to the community, and basically he more or less asked the people to map it for him. To develop it, to just texture it, detail it, whatever. And as the project developed, Hellbent came, suddenly he came back and started complaining about the, you know, direction it was heading.
Right.
Because suddenly he felt like it wasn't his product anymore. And there was actually quite a lot of drama about that, because he thought that some people butchered his maps. So
That does ring it. I'm
not sure where I was headed by that, but yeah, you mentioned that, and he ended up actually regretting ever putting those layouts out, and I'm not sure how the project would end if he just did it himself, because I think Green War 2 is a pretty good map that's just doesn't get its chance because it's insane texturing, because it's insanely complex to merge with anything else, and that's the trend in the deathmatch community nowadays. But yeah, he was also complaining about like layouts not being as good as he wanted them to be, because he was actually very good at drawing out deathmatch layouts in Green War 1. So that was maybe it was pretty silly from him to expect the community to just keep his layouts as they were. But on the other hand, maybe the community got too far with that. So that's maybe where the whole process of mapping and playtesting got too far from his original intent.
At the risk of leaving Sally in the dust when we come to playtesting for Deathmatch, we can come to that in a little bit.
One thing I would like to address about what Dewey said about Green War 2 is, you know, that's always the you know, need to make sure you maintain complete control in the end over your product. But more importantly, one thing we haven't talked about that I think is really important is getting playtesters who will give good feedback. We talked about having, you know, a diverse group of playtesters, but I think it's really important to have playtesters that are kind of dicks, if you will, to say, oh, no, this is garbage, fix it.
Oh, people like Sally who revel in giving criticism and fun. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, and I think that something like Mediated Z-Doom is a prime example of why you absolutely need that. You don't just need, oh my god, Tormentor, let me suck your dick some more. to actually be able to say, oh, this is terrible, this is atrocious, why are you going to put this out? Why? When they really need to just be saying, hey, yeah, this layout's confusing, I don't like it at all, I don't know what's going on here, but you should probably fix it, stuff like that. But really,
I guess that's sort of the direction that I wanted to go in when I brought up the hype machine, because obviously, you're not necessarily going to hype a project that's trying to be good, but when it comes to a high-quality project, yeah, that's, you need to hire sadists in order to be as meticulous as you possibly can about the playtesting process. You need to hire, people who are just impossibly cruel and who will make you tear your hair out and draw out the development process an additional 6 months if the need be in order to get things. Well, we've talked about perfection, but yeah, we'll use.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but
it's about being. Oh, sorry.
Go on.
I'm not really sure that it's so much about getting people who are going to be sadists, but it's people who, as Essel's put it very well in the chat, I think, not going to be starstruck. He brought me in having shared with me a few of the maps, and I would say things about it. And, you know, obviously these are all very talented people that are making these maps, but I would still say something, and he might think, well, there's a point there. And I'd walk in, and here I am, some new person, just kind of critiquing Skillsaw maps and Mechadon maps and Tango and Tarnsman and all these different people's maps. And, you know, I don't even know who they are until I'm playing them.
Right.
And I'm not Star Trek by any of this. I'm just saying whatever comes to mind. And if it's a good point, then it's a good point. And if it's not, then hell with it.
Right. That's exactly the point I was bringing up when I was talking about hype.
Well, from the other side of the of this thing, that was in 2009 when I was I was getting some feedback for Green War 2, but after it got released, I wasn't really in this playtesting mode I'm in for several years now. I wasn't really doing anything for that, and that's when 32 in 24.9 happened, and I gave some really, really harsh critique for that. It wasn't even a critique. I just fucking tore the work down. Like, that was the other opposite. I wasn't really thinking of, what the word was, meant to be. Like, it was, just a compilation of quick maps or quick designs or whatever. And actually, CyberSharks showed me the word, even though I was visiting Doomworld at the time already, but he showed me the word and I was so mad about it, just going through the maps. I actually have that post here, like, just to quote some of it.
Oh, go for it.
Map 5 is hurting my eyes, and it's hard not to get stuck even in spectator mode. It's just bad. I've just seen Map 6. Was it teleported from year 1995? Look, Ma, I'm mapping. And, it's just getting better. Map 7 says a very clear message. Hey, I hate DM players. Fuck you guys. And I kept going like that.
That seems a little bit beyond the realm of being constructive criticism.
Yeah. After that, I actually had a talk with Essel, and yeah, that's actually when I just reflected on what I actually wrote, and yeah, I started just giving more constructive feedback because. Yeah, that was probably my highlight as a playtester, because I just said every map in the world was just utter rubbish and everyone should kill himself.
Oh, excellent. I think that, no, it's important to have a playtester who's going to be bluntly honest about something. We use the term starstruck like that, but, like, Mechadon and Vader are my favorite mappers, and... looking at the criticism of Mechadon maps on the Back to Saturn X forums, I immediately am like, hey, Mechadon, this sucks. Fix it. It sucks. I hate everything about it, and you should just never do it again. And same thing with Vader maps, and I really enjoy Skillsaw maps, and, you know, every single post I've ever made about a Skillsaw map on the Back to Saturn X forums is like, oh, yeah, this is broken, and this sucks, and this is miserable, and you should just, like, die for making this. I hope you're happy.
You know,
do you think some of that has to... Oh,
no, go ahead.
Do you think that has to do with you being a mapper, though? I mean, I don't know how often this replies. That's just to not be mappers. I'm not a mapper. I've never played a DMAP. I'm not sure if he is or not. I guess you could answer. But as a person who isn't a mapper, there's also, I mean, I think assuming most playtesters aren't or don't spend most of their time mapping, then I think someone who does maps is not going to be starstruck. But I think maybe playtesters, people who are more just players in the community might be. Do you think there's something to that?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, yeah, I would say that's a good point.
Do you make maps? I actually don't know.
I made, like, a couple of test maps that mostly are, just, proof of concept things.
And here I thought I was hiring two you guys are just degenerates. I've picked the completely wrong people for the show.
Well, I've created a map that that propels you into the void with 99% probability, if that counts.
It counts for something. Dew's little recital there and reminded me of something, which was a huge, lengthy feedback post that Essel gave for Stronghold. Which went in detail through all of the maps. I think it must have been something ludicrous, like 5 or 6 pages in length. And it just gets me thinking, is it possible that giving that amount of feedback, not talking about the content of it specifically, but just when something is that large, it rather gives the impression that you're almost out to eat the map set alive, to really get at the makers of it. Although that wasn't, of course, the case. He was genuinely giving some...
he's out to destroy the Doom community. I think you're right.
I was right the first time. Oh, yeah, I should probably not... continue this discussion then. I mean, do you think it's possible to again, not speaking about the content of the post, but the size of it, the weight of it, and almost encourages the authors to be standoffish about it and sort of be more vigilant, not necessarily accepting the criticism, but going that, okay, you're just in the wrong there. I accept certain concessions, but we're just going to continue as planned. So almost being defensive in response to a criticism of that size and weight sort of causes them to become more tightly knit. Do you think there's a problem there with playtesters that become too impassioned, maybe give too much feedback like that?
The problem's always with the author. I'd say it's all about how somebody takes criticism. You know, nobody likes to hear, hey, your thing sucks. I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there who genuinely wants to hear, I don't like your product, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And, you know, it is kind of, you know, if you were to put out a map and say, hey, here's my map, you know, and you didn't think it was that good, but you didn't think there was that much wrong with it, and I posted like a 20-page response about how literally every single thing about it is fundamentally flawed, that makes you...
No, but, yeah, I guess what... I know what you mean, but there's also, you can't just tear it down. You had to also be constructive in the way, like, yeah, I totally tore 32.9 down, like, in a really bad way. I just said it all sucks except, like, four maps. But then I became, like, more constructive for 32.10. Mm-hmm. And it ended up with me, like, basically being the gameplay director of 32, 11, and 12. Like, I was live during the whole session, and I just told everyone, just remake this and move that and everything, which also was extremely exhausting. That was the worst playtesting experience I've ever had.
Oh dear.
And it left me
scarred for life.
Really exhausted and smelly.
But smelly.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I haven't slept for fucking 24 hours.
Oh god.
Excellent. No, and Dude brings up a good point. It's not so much about the length of the post, about how the post is worded. If I just make like a 500-word post about how much your thing sucks, and not why it sucks and what it does wrong, just that, you know, this is garbage, you should be ashamed of yourself, your family should be ashamed of you, blah, 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 that kind of stuff, you know, then, yeah, you're just being disparaging and you're being a dick. But, like, it's all about, you know, whether or not you think you're saying something that means something to somebody. Like, going back to Kaika and his TNT 2 map 17 or whatever, when I first saw the layout, I just called it disgustingly stringy.
I
thought that's enough. That says to me everything I need to say about it. It's stringy. Stringy is never really a good ever. So the only response to that would be just don't make it disgustingly stringy. Not explain why something being disgustingly stringy is a bad thing. But, you know, to some people, you have to actually explain, well, okay, this is going to cause this problem, and, you know, you're going to impede this with this, and that's why you should probably not make your map a series of lines.
I am inclined to think that there are two skills there to a playtester, and that's one of the actual playtesting front, and the other is giving the criticism, actually putting it up on the page. I suspect in certain projects there's a certain way to go about it, or if you're more of an outsider rather than somebody who's being more tightly knit with the team. There's a certain way of providing criticism so as to not goad a certain response and perhaps keep it as constructive as possible. So that's a certain skill, I think, that most playtesters would be good to have.
This, I think this also has to do something with, you know, the open feedback approach and team playtesting approach.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's just open playtesting, you get to just, at best, you get a bunch of demos, maybe someone telling you your maps suck, maybe someone even telling you how to improve them. But in the more controlled environment, it's, you get the Hawkwind logs, you get Belial scouring the map for, BPOs, and even fixing the map for you. That's actually something I am supposed to be doing with some maps in E2, right, in BTSX. now that I think of it. There's much more... The playtester is much more of a member of the team than in the open environment. There, he's just a guy who's giving his own opinion.
Right.
But in, for example, in BTSX, the playtesters are really contributing to developing the maps.
And Du brings up the ultimate defense of why you should have a control team of playtesters being in, like, Back to Saturn X, where it's like, oh, hey, Joshy, this is totally broken, you need to fix it. And Joshy just seeing, like, oh, well, I can't, and you want to just do it for me, and, you know, having somebody he can trust, you know, to where we can say, oh, hey, this map is, you know, unworkable, and it needs to be fixed, and the original author just can't. Can you step in and do it? And, you know, in a Back to Saturn X environment, you get something like Shadowport, and in a open community environment, you get something like Moldy desperately trying to fix that one map in Doom 2 in name only, and then the original author being like, well, I'll fuck with it again, and just ruining everything.
Oh, God. That was hilarious.
So you really need... In a tight-knit environment, you need the ability to, you know, like, trust the person who's messing with your map.
Right. Yeah, I think the pros certainly outweigh the cons where tight-knit privatized playtesters are concerned versus public testing. I was trying to basically come up with some advantages for the public front. And
public testing is better for bug hunting.
Yeah, public...
Definitely.
Public testing is always something that should always happen because... when you get, you know, 100 different people all looking at one thing, they're going to find something that's
right.
They'll
find something you missed. And I think the other more ethereal point that I was coming up with earlier was that consensus has become larger.
But
certain problems which you thought might have only been slight suddenly bulge once you place it into the public.
Yeah, but you shouldn't trust the public with asking them for an opinion how you should make the map or how you should direct the project. Because even BTSX is accused of like being a team project where the individual approach is lost. And if you just imagine that being brought to a, you know, public scrutiny, then it's just in the air. It will just be a hybrid that has no face.
Interesting. This sounds quotable, honestly. A hybrid that has no face. So we have about, I'd like to wrap this up in about 5 minutes odd, hit the 1 hour, 40 minute mark. I think it'll be quite solid, which incidentally I think is the length that IDL radio broadcasts go to. Which is a good length. And just in the time we have left...
I'm going to hack into Tango TV right now.
Oh, God! It's a giant...
Oh, God! Wow.
Oh, God! Oh, God! No! Make it go away!
Tonsman, the controls! Okay. Hit something!
A wild Asclepiadium appears.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just one thing. On the note of... It was mentioned a while ago about that massive Strongholds post that I had done.
Oh, yeah.
And just... One thing with that really, actually, it sort of goes back to what Du was talking about with UHC Ultra 2, and just the way that this happened, it was infuriating to me, because I was not privy to any of Stronghold's development. I was asked to, a tormentor messaged me and one day and said, hey, will you come on it, you know, like, come onto the private forum and playtest this. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll give it a look. And, you know, I figure, okay, there's going to be other playtesters looking at, you know, like all the gameplay and other aspects of this. This looks like it's a mostly completed project, so I'm just going to focus on one thing that I know that I can, you know, give my opinion on without really having to second-guess myself that much. I'm just going to... you know, just check through every map for, like, the visuals and all that other kinds of stuff. And I ended up, I sort of went past that because there were so many issues with layout stuff and all this stuff that was jumping out at me. And just by the end of this post, I was just absolutely foaming at the mouth with how infuriatingly lazy and half-assed so much of this seemed. It was just blatantly. And
what was the response?
I think I ended my post with, like, there's my review. I don't expect you to like it very much. But anyway, just that the main response was, like, well, the project's basically done. We can't change any of that now. And I was just so utterly infuriated that they had asked me to come on and test this at the last minute. And, like, I think they released the first version of it, like, 2 days later or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just... playtesters need to be... playtesters and people who are going to tell you that something sucks... I mean, whether you agree with them or not, just you have to have people there who are going to be really critical of you early on when you can actually do something about it if you think that they have a point.
Sure.
Well, that again goes back to the developers, and if somebody comes along and points out that your product is fundamentally broken on so many different levels, it's really the responsibility of the person making that product to go, I need to delay this release. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not EA
around here. I mean, it's just the team.
You need to response accordingly, and not doing anything. I guess that is a response. I was going to say that isn't a response at all. To a list of criticism. Yeah, it's.
Well, you can take the author can take like responsibility for the project. Just say that's my artistic direction or whatever. But yeah, it's going to end up sucking. So good luck with that.
And I mean, like. In fairness, there actually was, I think, one pretty major change that, I mean, I might be misattributing this because not long afterwards I was actually ousted from the Stronghold Forum for my report, for testing it.
Oh, look at this drama platform that KTV has become.
I'm pretty sure that the absolutely... just infuriated response that I had to one map in particular actually led to that map being completely replaced with something new that Tormentor put together in a later release just because it was just... I mean, like... I don't know, it's just the fact that... Actually, I'm going to... because this is probably coming off sounding like, who is Tormentor to not listen to me? I obviously know better, which isn't what I'm trying to say. So I'm going to go back to another project that I had nothing to do with, but from working on the shores of Zedum, I've been privy to all the development threads and whatnot of Knee Deep in Zedum, the original. And just... looking at the
Kako Award winning.
The Werther's original of Doom Maps.
But just looking at some of how the playtesting seemed to be handled for that, and I mean, there's a billion threads. I might have missed something. I might be completely talking out of my ass. But what I saw in there was, for the most part, like, other than people who were directly working on the maps, basically the only outside playtesting, like the only thing even remotely comparable that I saw to like the sort of things that Du and Selay and whatnot were doing, was pretty much just a couple of people who were let in at the last minute after the project was all done, and their reports were mostly... you know, because they had never seen any of it before, and they just had however long to come up with a report. It was just like, wow, this is fantastic. It's perfect. I've never seen anything like this before. And as for bugs, I found there were a couple of misalignments here and a broken script, and everything else is great. And, you know, I mean, just... I don't think that it's just me that would find... that there were a lot of major issues in that project that could have been fixed by having somebody like Du or Belial, somebody who is really a gameplay specialist, on board pretty much like from the first any of the maps were playable at all.
I think it's
admittedly, that was sort of a problem there because this might be leaking confidential information, but actually it was asked at one point in the development forum what was going on with the gameplay, and one of the developers, who I'm not going to mention by name, I will say it wasn't Tormentor, the response from one of the mappers was that we're saving the best for last, in reference to actually setting up gameplay at all. So, if you played KDIZD and felt the gameplay was completely,
not a priority.
Phoned in.
Be correct.
Aim, garbage, all of these are accurate.
Tomsman has no fear.
Yes.
I have no fear.
Actually, that's an interesting concept.
Thinking about running a project, get playtesters on board as soon as possible. Okay. Because otherwise, you're going to just have to totally ignore a lot of feedback that you don't have, like, that you just have, you know, like, you've been working on this for so long that you just can't care anymore and you just want to get it out the door. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm sorry, I'll shut up. Dude, what were you saying?
Thank you, Essel, for your first, for TGV's first official phone-in. And for being
actually, making a gameplay progression like that, the maps would get better at gameplay as they progress throughout the map set. That would be actually something interesting to see, because I'd love them to see how would they just set up the bad maps at start and line them up just in raising quality. That's quite ridiculous.
I thought you were going to say line them up and shoot them.
Absolutely, and we need to get our engineers to kick Essel out of here. No, I think that, one, you should never front-load a map set with all the shit first. That's just detrimental. If something's bad...
How do you know that they're even bad if you don't, like, let people playtest them?
Well, you need a playtest.
Like, you know you're mapping a shitty map.
But
you know it.
Yeah, go back to just trying to shove something out the door, okay? You know, as the businessman here, I can sympathize with, you know, a horrible company like EA or whatever, where they're like, oh no, this is not done, but we gotta release it. They have to pay their employees, they only have a limited amount of money, they will lose money if they release it. Doom maps are a fan-made product that you're not getting paid for, they're not costing you anything to make, there's absolutely no reason to release an inferior product, okay? If you're just, we said it'd be out, we're gonna release it even though it's clearly not done, that's just being lazy and an asshole, I think.
Is this a dig in the ribs at me for not releasing the basics?
Well, I would agree with that as well on a whole nother level, just the fact that in releasing something that you know you could do better, you're actually wasting everyone's time. Like, you know, I mean, like, I felt like my time was wasted when the response to my whole Stronghold post after they asked me to test it was like, oh, well, we don't have time to change any of that now. Well, I mean, like, just imagine how every player is going to feel when, you know, I mean, when you release something and you have not properly,
Yeah, and there's actually, I want to say, there's a big difference between releasing a thing that just, you know, you mapped in advance, and then you asked people for feedback, and then you just said, screw the feedback, I don't have time for this. And something like you often have these megawords that just turn to be just episodes, Josh's Surge or whatever, but they're complete products even if there are not complete megawatts, because they had playtesting from the first moment. Like, Joshy had playtesters for Surge from the very first moment. He put a playable version.
Right.
So,
speaking
Speaking
of finishing things before they've been properly playtested or done, I'm afraid we're really going to have to cut this off here, because it's a...
No, you're not.
One other thing that was discussed earlier a bit was the ability for playtesters to get jaded to something and just One thing that brought up in my mind was in Deus Vault 2, like, you know, the massive text file that accompanies that? I know Tarnsman knows it.
Oh, you mean Huifam's entire resume, thoughts on Doom Map,
yeah,
his favorite video game?
One thing there that I found interesting was just the fact that, I forget if it was just one map in particular, maybe Unholy Cathedral, or just the entire WoD in general, but he was talking about how his playtesters, like, as they played the maps again and again, they got so much better at them that they kept demanding that he make the maps harder.
Right.
And, like, now, actually, one thing that he's been saying about the work that he's been doing on Deus Vault 2 Second Edition is that he's actually been toning a lot of that down and trying to reduce monster spam and, you know, getting it to be difficult without just totally clobbering you with a billion things to endlessly plow through.
Sure.
So, definitely that's the sort of thing that, like, obviously, to some players, that being as hard as that is a good thing, though, you know, it pretty much just, it all comes down to what you're after, I guess.
This is why I was saying, if
the second
you're
more to be able to play it, then you might want to,
I just want to throw my opinion out there. I think Deus Vault 2 is seriously overdone. Like,
definitely, I would agree.
I don't see any reason why it should be redone. It's not a perfect megawatt or episode or whatever it is, but it's pretty damn good, and I think Hui's time would be better spent on making Deus Vault 3 or whatever, because those layouts don't need to be like a pimped up or whatever. I saw a like improved version of recently, and while it was like bigger and more colorful and with more sectors and everything, it wasn't that much different, and I still think it was pretty much the same Deus Vault 2 in the core. So I'm a little bit afraid he's killing too much time on this project while he should be doing something new.
All right, to cock block Alfonso and wrap this up. In one final thing to say about playtesting, it's while it is helpful and beneficial to the total production time of a product to get playtesters on board right from the beginning, it's not necessarily getting them on board right from the beginning. It's giving yourself time to actually listen to their feedback and implement it. All right.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest thing to be, you know, put into a new developer's mind, is that you have to give your playtesters time to play the product and to really, you know, intricately test it. And, you know, if you just want to rush something out, then you're going to rush out an inferior product and people are going to bitch about it and, you know, whatever. That's your decision. And so,
and you'll have no one to blame but yourself.
Absolutely. You'll have nobody to blame but yourself.
And those lousy playtesters.
Because you can't expect the playtesters just to tell you that you have two textures misaligned and that's all.
Oh,
they
will
tell you
that's what everybody wishes for, is just,
yeah,
this is perfect, here's two textures.
Yeah, but they will tell you that your red room completely sucks, like the red key trap is fucking dick, a dick move or whatever, so yeah. So, yeah. You need the time to put in their feedback into the map.
But the final note of this is that you're your own maps director, and it's up to you to make the product you want to make, and playtesters are merely tools to help you get to where you want to be. And you have to give them time to critique your map, and you have to choose whether or not you're going to implement their suggestions. And if you're not going to implement their suggestions, then don't even bother.
Tango TV episode 8 will be Well, the topic of Doom 3 and 4 discussion, which has now been delayed twice, we understand it, and that will be with Amtrop and Krista, so join us then. We hope sometime, at least a week from now, more likely, let's be honest, about a month. Join us then. This has been a discussion on playtesting and feedback with Sele and you, and for some reason, a sentient clerical vessel who barged at the last second.
Remember that playtesters can be a useful tool, but if you do not allow them to be useful, then the tool is you.
Really, Essel?
Really, I had to go then.
Right now, and think about what you just said, because I'm disgusted with
you. I'm ending the stream.
Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Thank you for joining us. Join us next time. Goodbye.
I'll be back.
Next time when Essel won't just barge in at the last minute.